Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Connecticut's prison population apparently beginning to flatten out a bit. State officials expect the Connecticut's population, prison population, will decline over the next year, but at a bit of a slower rate than in the past. To talk about that, the new Undersecretary for Criminal Justice Policy in Connecticut, Mark Pelka, is the guest. Mark, Paul Pacelli here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
The Undersecretary for Criminal Justice Policy. You know what it is. I know what it is. Folks in the business know what it is. But if you could give us a, just for the folks who might have an idea of what you do but not really sure, give us a brief idea of your responsibilities.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm about three weeks on the job now, and I'm Criminal Justice Advisor to Governor Lamont. Mm-hmm. I'm situated in the Budget and Policy Office, and my role is to help convene state officials and criminal justice system stakeholders around criminal justice system trends. And last week, a meeting took place with commissioners from across state agencies and stakeholders of the criminal justice system. We had prosecutors and victim advocates and mental health and substance abuse administrators all reviewing high-level criminal justice system trends. And as you led off with, After the state experienced substantial decline in its prison population over the last 10 years, our indications are that the population is beginning to stabilize. And so the officials came together last week to review those trends, explore what factors contributed to the drop over the last 10 years, and develop some strategies for how moving forward we can look to continue to improve on the kind of public safety trends that we've had, use resources more efficiently, and kind of move forward with all stakeholders on the table looking at the trends.
What makes a person like you want to get into a situation like this, dealing with those incarcerated and trying to find out and figure out better ways to do that?
Well, I think Monday I joined Governor Lamont and our Corrections Commissioner, Rowan Cook, in touring Cheshire Correctional Facility. Mm-hmm. Connecticut has a national model, a unit called the TRUE Unit, which specializes in men age 18 to 25. And that's an important demographic because in correctional settings, that population tends to be involved in more institutional misconduct than other people in prison. Recidivism rates are also higher. And so the reason I love this work, Paul, is because we sat down with mentors who are serving life sentences and working to support these men in prison. And when the governor sat down with the mentees, 18 to 25-year-olds, and asked them, what are your concerns about returning to the community once your sentences have been served? And the men responded with, I'm afraid of, I won't be able to get a job or find stable housing or continue this mentorship support. So I'm always thinking about how can we slow the revolving door of recidivism, put resources where they'll have the biggest impact on recidivism, all in pursuit of public safety.
Mark, is it true, and I've heard this from some criminal justice folks, folks on the inside, police, even some former inmates, that to a certain percentage of these folks, men and women who maybe come from tough neighborhoods, broken homes, sometimes the idea of going back to prison and spending extended stays in prison is not really something that they're in any way afraid of, and in a weird kind of way, almost feel comfortable with.
Yeah, there's a certain incapacitation effect that occurs inside prison. You get three square meals a day, health care, services, there's structure around it. Mm-hmm. It's also an incredibly antisocial environment that has very negative effects on anyone who is inside that facility. There are some positive benefits, and our Department of Corrections does great work in connecting people to treatment and to programs and to make that experience as, I guess, impactful as possible. I think you're so right to focus on the challenges of reentry and being under supervision. Most people in Connecticut who are under some form of criminal justice control are not locked up. They're on probation.
Yeah.
They're on parole. They're in some programming. And it is hard to be subject to conditions set by the court or by the parole board. And you nailed it, that recidivism doesn't occur just once. When people leave prison and come back, there's a small cohort of people who come back multiple times.
Yeah.
We got this new study that the group reviewed last week showing that of the people who returned to prison within 3 years of release, 68% came back more than once.
Wow.
And so you have people almost in this revolving door. And so where I think the Governor Lamont has instructed me to focus my time is when people are most likely to reoffend and which populations are most likely to reoffend. And in Connecticut and most states around the country, most recidivism occurs in that first 9, 12, 18 months mm-hmm. in the community after a release from prison. And due to use of risk and need assessments, we know which people are at the highest risk of reoffense. So let's focus our resources on that population at that time, and that can do some good work for public safety and for avoiding costs in the long run.
Mark Pelka is the guest, the state's undersecretary for criminal policy, justice policy. Mark, it must be tough sometimes, I would imagine, because you and I are talking about this, and we look at numbers and trends and age groups, but like you say, you went in the Cheshire facility, and by the way, I have a relative that works at that facility, so I know from whence you're talking. These are people. They're not numbers, they're people. I mean, when you go there, you're looking into the eyes of a lot of people who admit they've done something wrong. They've done some pretty bad stuff, but a lot of them just want help to become a productive person.
Absolutely right. And I think the fact that the governor visited a prison with less than 3 weeks on the job shows how much it meant to him to see that. And I felt it too. I was moved by the stories of the people behind there. These are people who regret the actions in their past, and that what really broke my heart, Paul, was hearing from a 19-year-old man who told me that this is the first time he's taking classes that are impacting the way he's viewing the world.
Wow.
The men in this troop unit, they sit around regularly with their mentors and other corrections officers and review current events in the newspaper. They probably listen to the show,
yeah,
and they discuss it. They're in touch with their emotions. They're able to share and work through their past. They're moved to tears sometimes. What makes True special, I think, is that the corrections officers, and God bless their work they do on a daily basis, they actually interact more one-on-one, face-to-face. I saw a corrections officer challenging one of the mentees to a game of chess, and I guess the mentee had beaten him in the most recent game, and he was a little sheepish about taking him on a second time. But you're right, these are people, and I think a lot about crime victims, too, and I'm really excited for the governor to be sitting down again with victim survivors and their advocates mm-hmm. to talk more about their experiences, because that's at the heart of all this, is how can you reduce crime and lower victimization. And I think that's a really powerful part of the story, too, on the people who experience crime, and how can you help them overcome trauma and help them recover financially from what they've experienced.
Well, Mark, we want to have you back, so please don't be a stranger to the show. You have our contact information, so anytime you want to come on and just tell us about something, good, bad, or otherwise, it's happening, and if you want to discuss anything like recidivism or the early release program or anything like that, if you hear something you don't like, feel free to give us a call. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Really? Are you really, huh?
Yeah, I grew up in Glen Glastonbury here in the state. I've been working for a national nonprofit the last 10 years, but
okay.
I love your coverage of state, local politics, policy, and other events.
All right, Mark, thanks. We appreciate it.
Take care, sir.
Thanks,
bye
buddy.
Now.
Bye-bye. Mark Pelka, the state's undersecretary for criminal justice policy, Glastonbury native, and that's good. I think, you know, when you have a native, you know, and I know a lot of these state agencies get filled by people that do come in from other parts of the country, but when you have a native person here, a guy or a gal that grew up in the area, that's something to behold. Listen, folks, you know, you and I have some very passionate discussions and about policy issues on this state when it comes to criminal justice, and there was a lot of controversy in the last administration with Governor Malloy and his criminal justice person. But, you know, we have a fresh start here with Mark Pelka, so we will keep an eye on all this stuff as well.